ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays from Away podcast, episode 38.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins, it's a current of love.
In this episode, we bring you our pitching interviews from Lansing last week. Pitching coach Jeff Ware, closer Phil Kish, and starter Chase Mallard. Sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen, and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays from Away podcast. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast on the new Blue Jays from Away. We are proud to announce that the 2015 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook and the premium content section of Blue Jays from Away are now available. The full Blue Jays from Away experience will give you the lowdown on every player in the Blue Jays minor league system. The handbook contains information on the teams, their staff, and their schedules, and also includes a wrap-up of the 2014 draft, while also profiling the 250 players in the Jays organization. Our premium content section includes player profiles, scouting reports, photos, and video, and is updated regularly throughout the season with exclusive reports from the team's locations. A Blue Jays from Away premium content subscription, along with the 2015 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook, will give you the most comprehensive coverage of the Blue Jays minor league system anywhere. Today's podcast is the Lansing Lugnuts Pitching Podcast, where we bring you interviews with pitching coach Jeff Ware, closer Phil Kish, and starter Chase Mallard. Welcome back to the Blue Jays from Away podcast. I'm here with Jeff Ware, the pitching coach for the Lansing Lugnuts. Welcome to the podcast, Jeff.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So the first thing I want to ask you is, you know, this is a little bit of a different environment. You're getting an earlier start to your season than you did last year in Vancouver. You know, what's that like? Is it preparing? You know, how is the preparing different?
I don't think there's too much preparing that's different. You know, I was a part of full season as a coach for, gosh, about over 11, 12 years. So I did 1 year last year, which was in the Northwest League. But then now getting back into it, I'm looking forward to it. It gives us more time to work with the pitchers and actually see them progress a little bit more as opposed to the short season when you're only with the guys for, you know, 2.5, 3 months. And you know, being full season, it's good to be able to work with these guys and get to know them a little bit more.
Now, you know, I've heard from several, even pitchers themselves, that especially the Latin American guys, they don't like the cold weather. It's a big adjustment for them. Today probably shouldn't be a problem because it's a beautiful day out here in Fort Wayne. But, you know, is there anything that you can do or that you have done to help them get acclimatized to that cold weather?
Really, the biggest thing is just try to mentally prepare them and tell them what to expect and how. And what little tips to have for them, whether it's just blowing on their hands in between pitches, having hand warmers in their bullpens, you know, maybe it's to take a quick jog or do some jumping jacks, some jump rope, something like that, just to keep the body warm, anticipate when you can pitch. And as a pitching coach, we try to let them have a little bit extra time to get warmed up and try to stay away from hey, you got, you know, get up right now, you got two hitters from now. Try to stay away from that, especially we try to do that anyway in the minor leagues. But having them mentally prepared can help. I know it's different for them because most of those guys have never been in this type of cold weather. But, you know, you got to be mentally tough in this game anyway. If you're going to make it to the big leagues, you're going to have to overcome some of the cold weather, you know, temperatures. So being mentally prepared can really help out.
So what can you tell the listeners about today's starting pitcher, Chase Mallard? He was with you last year in Vancouver, was one of the real stalwarts of that organization and that pitching staff. So what can you tell us who maybe, if they're coming to Fort Wayne or if they're going to see him in Lansing this year, what can you tell the listeners about, you know, what kind of a pitcher he is?
Great pitcher. He's a finesse pitcher. He's have a sinker, slider, changeup combo. He's a strike thrower. He's going to attack the hitters and go after them and try to induce early contact, which is what we like to try and teach all our pitchers. Try to keep the pitch count down. If we can get 5 good innings from him today, because, you know, normally in April we try to keep our starters around 75 to 80 pitches. You know, if they can get 5 innings in on that, that'd be great. But he's able to throw any of his three pitches for strikes at any time. He can work both sides of the plate, and that's what's going to make him successful. If he can keep continuing to do those things on a continuous basis and be consistent, he'll move along.
Now, I think we've got two TBA starters for the next couple of games. Any insight onto who we might see in those games?
Well, it's going to be Connor Green tomorrow, and then followed by Alonzo Gonzalez. Those two are going to split the game tomorrow. The following day is going to be Reed Foley and Schaefer. Those two guys are going to go. And then we get back to DJ DeJong, Chase DeJong. So we got a little bit of a piggyback situation going on. And, you know, just to try and keep those innings limited, especially for some of the younger guys who haven't had a full season under their belt and they haven't had too many innings. So that's what the piggybacking is all about. You know, trying to keep these healthy, get these guys log some innings under their belt, and then hopefully within a couple of years they can get to the big leagues.
Now, just, you know, I think that might be a surprise to some of our listeners that Sean Reed Foley is sticking around with Lansing. Obviously, he impressed some people along the way and showed that even just as a 19-year-old in his second pro year, he's ready for a full season assignment.
Yeah, we thought he was ready, and, you know, we thought he was going to break camp with us. He did have a really good spring training. Early on in spring training, we didn't know if he was going to be able to make the club, but I tell you what, he impressed some guys and opened up some eyes, and I think he deserved a spot here, and he's got a great power arm. He's going to work hard, and, you know, he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Now, also with that setup that you just mentioned, it looks like the rotation is a little bit longer than it was, you know, maybe in a traditional five-man rotation. It looks like you've got 6 days' worth of starters with Schaefer and Sean Reed Foley and Alonzo Gonzalez and Connor Green. Piggybacking, you still have Shane Dawson and you still have Chase DeJong, who had a phenomenal outing, and you still have Starlin Surriel and Chase Mallard. Does that six-day rotation... Is that an adjustment for some of the pitchers who might be used to a shorter rotation?
Well, I don't think it's not going to be a 6-day rotation. As of right now, it's going to be a 5-day rotation. But it looks like right now, unless we hear something different, Surriel and Dawson are going to piggyback with each other and then flip-flop in their starts. And we feel that both of those guys can handle their own games. I mean, they're veterans here. They were both here last year. But man, we've had some tough decisions to make in our my only coordinator, Doug Davis, Charlie Wilson, those guys have some tough decisions on trying to put some guys in some spots, because we've got a lot of good arms here. And, we've got some good arms in Dunedin, got some good arms back in extended. And it's tough decisions for us, and that's a good thing to have. Anytime you have tough decisions to make, that means you got some guys that are throwing the ball well. And that's what you look forward to. And unfortunately, sometimes it comes down to a numbers game. And that's just kind of what the players have to deal with. And it's us as coaches. It's our responsibility as coaches to kind of help them out, understand why it's going to be like this.
And right now, I mean, there's a lot of arms here, a lot of guys in the bullpen. Have you and Ken Huckabee, the manager, have you decided, is there going to be a closer per se that's going to be used in the ninth inning with, you know, a safe situation? Or are you going to go with someone who's a little, you know, whoever fits the situation a little bit, day by day?
As of right now, it looks like we're going to go with Kish. He deserves it. He pitched very well last year, got some saves towards the end of the year, actually got sent down to me in Vancouver and did a tremendous job down there in just a short period of time. But he's going to be the closer right now. And in April, you try not to go back-to-back days, I mean, with these younger guys. I mean, if you have to, you can, but try to stay away from it a little bit. And then once May comes around and then the guys are adjusted, they all have their routines, their arm strength are built up, then we can start doing more back-to-back days. But you try to stay away from it in these types of, you know, lower levels to keep guys healthy, because that's the number one reason.
So I did want to ask you, the weekend series in against Lake County back in Lansing featured some really terrific starting pitching performances. I think, you know, Chase struck out 9, Surriel struck out 8, Dawson struck out 6. What was going on there? Are they doing something new this year, or maybe just the Lake County hitters haven't gotten hit in their stride yet, and they're still a little bit, still not quite used to that pitching yet?
It could be a few reasons. It could be just that, the Lake County hitters hadn't seen live pitching, in several days. It's just like we didn't see live pitching in a few days, and our hitters, are better than that. We got a great lineup, and they're going to get a lot of hits throughout the season. But sometimes it's just making adjustments to the cold weather. But I'd like to give credit to our pitchers. I mean, they did a great job. Their starters our starters did a really nice job. I mean, yeah, we punched out quite a few of their guys. But I think it came down to our command. The guys commanded their fastballs both sides of the plate, and they had a their secondary pitches were working, and they were able to use those secondary pitches, such as a curveball or slider or changeup, at any count. And anytime you can do that and disrupt the hitter's timing, you're going to have success. And I think that's why our guys did.
Now, listeners to our podcast and readers at the blog know that I've been praising Chase DeYoung's curveball since 2013 when I saw him in Bluefield. He's also mentioned that he's working on a two-seamer, and he's even working on a cutter. Did he throw those pitches well on, Friday night?
He did. Both of those pitches are new. He didn't use the slider or cutter the other night. He didn't really have to. I mean, the way his curveball was working, I mean, he was able to dominate the game. But his two-seamer is a new pitch. He was using it in spring training, and he had some success with it. And we're trying to get him a fastball to move the other way, because his four-seam has some natural cut to it, and it stays over to that extension side. And I think it's going to be a big pitch for him. Give him a little bit more movement on his pitches, and just something that the hitters can have a different look.
All right, now last question. Who is the one pitcher on the staff that you think people haven't heard of but they should have?
For me, it's got to be a tie. I'm going to go with Connor Green and Sean Reed Foley. I mean, they're both new. They both were just added to the roster. Matter of fact, I don't think Reed Foley's even added yet, but he will be in the next couple of days. But both of those guys, I mean, especially, you know, not being here, for opening day or not on the rosters, I think they're going to open up some eyes this year.
All right, thanks very much. That's Jeff Ware, pitching coach for the Lansing Lugnuts. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm joined by Phil Kish. Phil was the winning pitcher of last night's ball game, a 10-inning victory against the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. Welcome to the podcast, Phil.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's great to be here.
Well, and this is, I think, your return visit to the podcast. I think we had you on last year as well. So tell us, I think we saw you last August. So what's happened in the meantime, and what's been going on over the winter and through spring training?
Well, for the entire off season, I worked at Ernst & Young as an auditor, so I got away from baseball for a little bit, and I was still doing workouts and whatnot after work in the late hours. But now it's great to be back in spring training, got ready to go, and happy Blue Jays still have me here, and just going with the opportunity.
Now, I spoke to Jeff Ware yesterday, and he was saying that you're his closer, so. What's that? What does that mean for you as a pitcher? How do you prepare for that? What kind of situations do you sort of look for or prepare yourself for?
Well, just actually kind of from last year, I was a closer in college, so I've had a little bit of experience with it. But last year, being here in the Midwest League, I was mid relief and kind of worked my way up in that way. But it was kind of nice to be behind Griffin Murphy, kind of see how he handled himself and try to learn just little things. But I like to be that person where the coaches can call on me, say, hey, I want you to go and get us out of it. So that was kind of cool to get started like yesterday with that. So that was my second one. So, just try to keep it going.
Now, that yesterday's situation was a little bit testy, I guess you would say. You had one out when you came in, runners on first and second base. What's going through your mind? How do you sort of get your head around the situation and prepare to come in, especially with runners on?
Well, Colin already had a couple very good three innings before that. So when he took him back out, I had confidence in him. But once he was able to get that strikeout with the bunt, so it's one out, first and second. So, okay. I actually wasn't really that scared at all, because with me, sinker ball guy, I was like, okay, I'm just going to get a ground ball. We'll be out of it. And then once I was able to get a fly ball on second out, I really wasn't worried about it at all. It's just getting that first one, and once Colton got the first one, I'm not too worried after that. It's always getting that first out. Once you do, you usually can settle down, or that first strike.
And, well, you threw a lot of strikes, and, when you're throwing, I we've seen you pound the strike zone. We see you, go after hitters. Not everybody does that every time they go out. How do you approach that line of thinking?
Well, first of all, going with the strike zone and whatnot, with me, that's just the one thing I strive on. I don't have the bestest of stuff. If I don't have it, I'm still just going to try to work around it and get ahead of hitters, because once you get the one strike on that hitter, his batting average just drops. So for me, I just strive on trying to go out there and just put it across the plate and let him hit it. You don't want to get beat with walks, because, usually if you have a walk, there's some way they're going to find a way to score. So with me, I just try to split the plate and let him hit it.
Now, I've noticed, having watched you over the past couple of years, that you have a lot of movement on your fastball. I mean, it really tails to the arm side. And there were a couple of pitches that I noticed yesterday where Dan Jansen would set up on the outside of the plate, and you'd throw a pitch that would start off the plate and backdoor itself back onto the plate just by tailing towards it. You know, is that really a thing that you're looking for to be able to freeze batters?
Well, I try to use that movement to, you know, it's not the fact to trick them. It's just trying to just, you know, that's one way that I can try, you know, get a strike on them. But sometimes that can also cause problems. Like, once, if you don't have that feel or that command that one day, that can hurt you too, because that could, you know, tail off the plate or out of the zone, and then that can get you into some trouble hitter counts. Like my first outing in Lansing, I had that problem. I kind of got behind on hitters 2-0, 3-0. That was because I had the ball running off the plate. I didn't have the command that day. But, you know, once, you know, if you have it, then it can help you a lot. So hitters will mishit things, and then I can catch them off guard with one pitch, like you said, on the outside corner, start off and have it come back.
Now, last year in spring training, somebody told me that your changeup was one of the best he had seen. And he was another pitcher in the organization who will remain anonymous for now. But he told me that your changeup was like the best he had seen in the organization. And I noticed yesterday, I don't think you threw it at all. It was mostly fastball slider. So what do you sort of tailor that to the situation?
Well, speaking of my changeup, I think that's my worst pitch, because I've never had to throw it in college. I just did sinker slider, and that's the only way I've learned. But I've been, you know, that's one thing Sal Fasano, this entire spring training, pretty much that's all I was allowed to throw. He didn't want me to throw sliders because he said that he felt I had a pretty good command of that. But he said once I could get a changeup in there and I could throw it where I feel comfortable throwing it 2-0, 3-1, that's going to help you a lot. And right now, and I struggled in spring training with that, even with a changeup. But like you said, sometimes it's great. Sometimes it comes out great, and you know, I love it, and I'm like, oh, I want to use it more. But then sometimes it'll hurt me because I'm still not there 100% with it yet. But hopefully, like, you know, slider 2-0, 3-1, I'm not afraid to throw it. I'll throw it whenever. So that one, once I get that, you know, it's almost a mental game. Once I get that confidence with it and I feel like I'm comfortable with it, which I felt I made giant steps this entire spring training with that. So hopefully that'll come around soon where I'll be able to feel comfortable with lefties on and throw that. So.
And so, you know, here we are in April, so it's the beginning of a long season. What are your goals for this year?
Just to get out, you know, just go out there and say, give us a chance to win. Even with yesterday pitchers, I felt like we've been going out there and getting outs and keeping as many runs or many base runners off so our hitters can go out there and get us a win. So that's what the game is. Keep runners off, keep the runs from scoring. So that's what I want to do.
Well, when you say it like that, it sounds like a very simple game, isn't it?
Well, once you keep it simple, the game just becomes easier. Once you try to make things so difficult and fine, and that's just gonna screw you up.
All right. Well, we're gonna let you get back to work. It's Phil Kish, pitcher for the Lansing Lugnuts.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Blue Jays from Away podcast. I'm here with Chase Mallard. Chase is a starting pitcher for the Lansing Lugnuts. Welcome, Chase.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great.
So, Chase, you were the starting pitcher in yesterday's game against the 4-3, 10-inning game against the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. Can you tell us a little bit about the game? You pitched the first five innings and, you know, what you were going through on the mound.
I've had some stuff over spring training that I'm working on. You know, we're trying to develop a few pitches. So being able to go out there and go five innings with no walks, I'm proud of that, to be able to, you know, compete with what I've learned so far. But they got some good hitters, really. They hit balls that they were supposed to hit. But, I'm just proud of not walking anybody.
Now, the first couple innings were interesting. There were a lot of, things that might have rattled you a little bit. There were a couple of defensive miscues, a couple of, errors out there on the infield. You know, how do you deal with that as a pitcher?
Well, I'm not mad at anyone or, you know, upset about errors because, you know, I played infield my whole high school career and I know how tough it is. I'm usually just mad at myself when I maybe leave a ball over the plate with two strikes. That's when I get fired up. But if there's errors, you know, in the field, I'm it's not a big deal at all. I completely understand, you know, miscues and stuff. So, yeah, that's about it.
Well, I mean, even though there were some errors on the infield, you actually got, you know, helped out by your defense a couple of times, in particular Josh Almonte.
Oh, that was an amazing throw. Almonte has a freaking cannon for an arm, so that bailed me out big time. That saved the inning. Saved pitch count, for sure.
So what are you working on? You said that you're working on some pitches. Which ones were you working on?
I'm actually trying to develop a sinker right now. I've mostly been a four-seam guy, fastball guy. And if you don't throw 95 miles an hour, you better have some movement. So we're just trying to create some more movement with a fastball, and, you know, move in and out with that pitch as well. So,
now, correct me if I'm wrong. I think you went to University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Yes.
And you were drafted by the Blue Jays last year. And, you know, what was it like? You had a pretty outstanding season in your senior year at Birmingham. You know, what were you going through with that? And then how does the whole getting drafted part of it fit into that equation?
Yeah, pro baseball has always been a dream of mine, for sure. And for 3 years, I did okay. But I put my complete focus and determination into my senior year to get drafted, you know, and keep playing. So there was just a level of focus there that I haven't had in a long time. So that helped out a lot. And then getting drafted was just it was just a dream come true. You know, you finally made it to where you want to be, and then once you get there, you know you keep working to keep going. But it was surreal. But that determination is what got me there.
And you know, is there something specific that you can say? I mean, you're saying that, you know, the first 3 years your focus just wasn't there. I mean, what were you doing differently in that last year?
You know, I always thought I worked hard. I always thought I focused and you know, competed well. But it was just another level, to be honest with you. It was making sacrifices, you know, off the field to get where I wanted to go.
Now, you came in last year and you pitched primarily in Vancouver, mm-hmm. In that rotation there. And what was that like playing, A, in that city, and B, for that team that did quite well?
I've said it before, it was the most fun I've had on a baseball team by far. The city was outstanding. The fans loved the Canadians. So it was a lot of fun for me. But also being on that team, that group of guys were so close that it made it just, you know, special. And that team of pitchers helped each other out so much. You know, we always were teaching other people, or, you know, whatever we learned, you know, we wanted to give it to other people as well.
And, you know, of those pitchers from Vancouver, a few of them are with you here on that on this Lugnuts team. Is there anyone that you're particularly close to?
I room with Mark Biggs. He's a, you know, outstanding man. I thought I was going to high A at the beginning of the year, and he saved a spot for me in an apartment. So yeah, he's particularly close, but honestly, every one of us are, you know, great friends. So there's, you know, Mark maybe one, but all of them are, you know, real close as well.
Now, some of the other pitchers on the staff had a little bit of, you know, prep time, or a little bit of, you know, they were able to get into a game a little bit more recently. It's probably been at least a week since you had a chance to pitch in a game from the end of spring training until your season debut last night. You know, what's that like, especially when you're coming out for the first couple of innings, not having pitched in competition and only probably having bullpen sessions?
Right. I've had probably 3 or 4 days ago, I had a like a competitive batting practice. So I threw a couple innings there. But, yeah, having to wait isn't, you know, real easy. And then playing in front of 7,000 fans on an away field, that's pretty tough as well. But your level of competitiveness just goes up. I mean, it doesn't matter when's the last time you threw. It's just, you're just ready.
Now, you mentioned pitching in front of 7,000 fans as an away pitcher. Mm-hmm. What, you know, do you feed off that? Do you know that they're against you and you take that and sort of try to stick it to them?
Kind of, but you see all the professional pitchers, the real good ones. It doesn't matter where they're at, how many people's around, they are the exact same every time they go out. So being able to control the, you know, the situations, the stadium and all that, the feel is a big part of it. So just slowing the game down is huge.
All righty. So before we let you go, why don't you tell the listeners, you know, what you like to do over the off season? What, you know, how do you unwind even during the season as well? Mm-hmm. You know, You know, you have a lot of time in the offseason, and I know pitchers aren't, you know, especially when it's not their game day or when there's not a bullpen day, they've got some downtime. So what do you like to do?
Well, recently I got engaged, so that was one big thing I did. I worked a lot, you know, worked out, got ready for the season. Other than that, I'm from Alabama, so I love to hunt and fish. That was probably number one fun time was hunting, I'd say.
All right. Did you bag any big game or any catches for you?
That's it for episode number 38 of the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'd like to thank Jeff Ware, Phil Kish, and Chase Mallard. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Jays From Away. Come on back soon and go Jays go.